Thank you very much for your time. I'd like to open up to any questions you may have also during this time. Yeah. The comment was that I opened myself up to that, to letting God work in that. And that is true, you know, but when I look back, it's, you know, I guess I could have responded. I opened myself up to response because when I think back to my college days and those cisterns that were just so deeply ingrained in my identity, God stripped them from me. He was already working, and I was wanting to grow, but I was scared to let go. But He had to take them from me before I was willing to let go. And so I'm grateful for the fact that He chose to do that, and I'm grateful for the fact that He enabled me to open myself up to Him. Yeah, 'cause without it, you know, I mean, you can respond a very different way. Well, I'm trying to. I didn't tell y'all about my career, right? Not that you would know, but I got drafted by Indianapolis in 05 in the fourth round, and played here for 3 years. And then right after the draft, my fourth year, they cut me. And then that next year, I kind of bounced around. Denver picked me up a couple weeks after that, and I was there for the summer and for a few weeks that season. And then, you know, got cut, and Oakland picked me up for a couple weeks, which was rough. And then I finished off the season just kind of, I was like, all right, we'll give it one more chance. And turned out I got to Detroit, and I've been there for 5 years. So I've been to the number 32 and 31 team on my list of teams I like to play for. But, no, right now I'm a free agent, and I just finished up with Detroit. They let me know that they don't foresee me coming back there next year. You know, they would like to draft and go younger at that position. So I'm working out. I'm trying to get ready for another opportunity, and if the right one presents itself, then we'll try to play again. Yeah. I don't think I fit into that category, but I see those guys you're talking about on a regular basis. You know, yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, I really believe that is part of the reason you see more head and neck injuries than before. I don't really know what the answer to that problem is. You know, I don't know what to say there. I think that this is something that we choose to do. And so we also choose to accept whatever comes along with that. Yeah, that's a great question. He was asking, what is Dungy like, really? You know, whenever people ask me that question, my response is always that, you know, people on you know, celebrities, because he is a celebrity, you know, on TV or whatever, I feel like they're never as good or as bad as they seem. But with Tony, I feel like he's better. Like, he's incredible. I mean, it's not like we would sit down and pray together, but he was always consistent. He was always a man of God. He was always just that light and that leadership, and the strength of God was in him, you know, and it was incredible. You know, he would go to chapel services with us, you know, on a weekly basis, but he was a man that you could go, literally could just go in and talk to if you had any issues going on, and he was awesome. I feel extremely blessed to have gotten to play for him. And even though it was just for 3 years, I mean, I'll carry what I learned from him for forever. Question is, who did I most strive to be like as a Christian man playing football in the NFL? Yeah, no, without a doubt. There's been several men who I really respect, you know, not only professionally, but their family life, how they lead their family at home, and how they follow and walk with the Lord. And I would say that Jeff Saturday was a guy, especially because he was, you know, our center and the leader of our room, was a guy that I just have tremendous respect for and still do. And then also Hunter Smith, who spoke to you guys a couple weeks ago. I mean, I've asked him the past two off seasons to kind of disciple me, and he's had that role for my life for quite a while, off and on. And I just have a ton of respect for him. Yeah, you know, there have definitely been books that I've read, you know, throughout my walk that have made me strive toward certain things. You know, in college I read Wild at Heart, which was a book that really resonated with me, just not growing up with my dad in the house, you know, and having my mom and a sister, just like what it looked like more to be a man of God. And I think that book can be, you know, it's got its ups and downs, but it was really good for me. And you know, the book I'm reading right now is called Forgotten God by Francis Chan, which is just really discussing and learning, hopefully, how to engage the Holy Spirit better and make that a bigger part of my life. So, I wish I could answer that. I don't know. I have not met him, and I'm not real familiar with him. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is that he's doing, but I know that there are other teams who are, you know, very involved in supporting our troops and our, you know, especially our wounded warriors and things like that. But I don't know exactly what that looks like. Sure. Yeah, that's a hard list, right? Jesus, I guess, wins. But if I were to go beyond that, man, there's a lot of great ones. Paul is probably my favorite, though. That's a hard to say, but just the transformation that Paul had in his life to go from one extreme to the other is really just inspiring to me. And he just seemed like he got it, you know? I mean, here's a man who was so devoutly against Christianity that he was going from town to town killing them. And also a man who had, you know, he was the Jew of all Jews, he said. You know, he was born the right day. He was this, that, and the other, all in the right thing, and he was of the right branch. I mean, he was the man, you know. And he counts all that as filthy rags, you know, compared to any goodness that we can do to Jesus. And the humility that he showed, the humility with strength that he showed on a consistent basis is something that I aspire to. You know, he was never afraid to confront anybody. I mean, he called Peter out in front of a big group of people for trying to act like he's better than other people, you know, and not sitting amongst other people. And I mean, that to me is just incredible. And he's probably my favorite after Jesus. Yeah. Thanks. That's a good question. My relationship with my mom, I'll start with my dad, I guess. My relationship with my dad is still okay, but not great. You know, I wish it was, but he's kind of, you know, just like life gives us sometimes, you have, you know, ebbs and flows. And right now he's just kind of going through a spot where just some tough stuff's going on. But that being said, I still love my dad, and I talk to him, and I do aspire for a closer relationship with him. But distance also can make that difficult at times, but that's an excuse. So, and then things with my mom, you know, really awesome story. It's not finished yet, but I'm excited. I mean, since I've become a believer, I've shared with my mom, tried to share Jesus with her. And she's just been she's a spiritual woman, but she's been very closed off to anything that is exclusive. And Christianity is exclusive. I mean, Jesus is the way, you know, and there is no other way. And so that's been a big turnoff for her for a long time. And I've prayed a lot about her, prayed for her a lot, and shared with her a lot, and been rejected a lot. But then finally this last year, her and my stepdad were in Detroit during the season, and they agreed to start reading the Bible with us. And so on an almost weekly basis, we were getting together and reading through Luke. And I'm just really excited for the possibility and the openness that she's beginning to show, and hoping that more comes from that. Yeah, that's a great question. How do I keep my family in the church during football season? Well, the answer to that is, you know, a little bit to it. I obviously can't go to church with my family during the season. And so my wife would still take our children on Sundays. Most Sundays she would take our kids. And they would go by themselves. And it is a strain because we're not getting that together. You know, I get chapel service every Saturday night. And she would get church every Sunday. I would go to the men's Bible study through our team every Friday. She would go to the women's on Thursday. And then the one spot that we really got to kind of come together is we hosted the couples, or just the team, co-ed, whatever you want to call it, Bible study at our house. On Monday nights, and that's where we tried to build our church up at the time. You know, it looked different, but we were still getting community and getting in the Word and praising Him. So that's what we tried to do. But it is difficult. I don't know all the details. You guys probably know that a lot better than I do. I have no problem with them getting paid. I think that they should. I think it should be a flat rate. I don't think that one player should get more than the other. I don't think that one school should get more than the other. Even if they just gave half again to their scholarship check or something like that. I really, you know, and people have, you know, different opinions on that, but I feel that they generate a lot of revenue, and it's really, I mean, yeah, I don't have school debt, but you put in a lot of hours, and they make a lot of money off of it. So, and coaches get paid a lot of money off of it. And again, I'm not talking about a lot of money. I'm just saying boost up so that you're not scraping by the end of the month. Well, guys, I sure appreciate your time. Thank you very much for your attentiveness and just letting me get to come and speak to you guys. Have a great day.